Hello and welcome to Queering Eve, a spoiler-free podcast about the TV show Killing Eve, made by some queers.
Nina looked at me and I still needed 2 seconds to get it.
Hi, I'm Nina and I'm the one who currently has a bunch of things on her mind and so much happening, so excuse me if I just am too overwhelmed and can't function.
Hi, I'm Nea and I'm the one who was a zebra today.
Cute.
I will offer no further explanation.
Okay.
It was carnival.
Yeah, but I didn't know you did anything for it.
Yeah, I rummaged under your bed and took the zebra ears.
Ugh. I totally forgot that it was, so I did not dress up at all.
You forgot it was carnival?
I did. I hate myself.
That's sad. I also did not dress up, but I did eat 2 donuts, and I have another one, so... Okay. Hi, I'm Tamara, and I'm the one who played guitar so much this last 2 weeks, I actually thought, well, I sure I will grow up my nails on my right hand. Seems like I will actually use them.
Wow. Congrats on playing guitar again.
Thanks. It feels great, honestly.
Aww.
Queering Eve, 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 Eve.
Okay, so this is our first episode into the new season, that is happening as we are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting, scary, what else?
Mostly those 2 things, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I described it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to be talking about season 4, episode 1 today, called Just Dunk Me. It was written by Laura Neal, who is this season's head writer, and it was directed by Stella Corradi, who has done some stuff, none of which I recognize, but she is directing 4 episodes this season, so half of this season is hers. Let's see how she does.
As Nina, you said, this is the only season that we are recording the podcast while the episodes are coming out. So we will not have the knowledge of having seen the whole season when we talk about this. So
get ready for us to be extra stupid.
Yeah, basically that. I also just wanted to clarify that I promised myself that I will not be reading anything about the show while I'm watching it. I will not see any good and in-depth theories. So if you want that, go somewhere else. And come here if you want completely unfounded theories and just very stupid opinions.
Yeah, I also will not be looking into any other people's reviews or theories or anything, which is sad because that's like a nice thing to do while watching TV. But also, I think this is good as well.
Yes, 2 things can be good.
I, Tamara, will also not be reading anything by anyone else. However, I have a more positive view of us, and I will say that we are charming.
Beautiful. Okay, I love it. I think we should end this part with that sentiment. So, do we want to just start off by saying just very quickly what our general opinion about this episode was?
No!
I feel so respected. I feel...
This is the first rule of improv is saying no, but.
No buts allowed in improv.
No, I will do it for you.
Thank you.
The first time I watched it, I was like, well, I hate this. Yeah, but I was like, probably I will change my mind when I rewatch it. And I enjoyed it more on my second watch.
I was disappointed that we again started somewhere completely different than we left off with even Villanelle. That was a bummer. Other than that, I enjoyed it as much as any other Killing Eve episode. It wasn't above and beyond, but I had fun.
I really loved it at the beginning, and then like that excitement and enjoyment kind of drizzled away. Is that drizzled off? Just drizzled. Did some drizzling. Okay. And then slowly that excitement and enjoyment just kind of evaporated. It was like a stream going far away.
It solidified. Wait, no, that would be the...
The opposite of what
the opposite, yeah. I'm just thinking about, like, different states of water.
I drank down that excitement and it was gone.
And then you beat it out.
Okay. That's just going to be the whole podcast. No, I mean, not that I'm trying to say that I did not enjoy it at all, like, when we got to the end or anything, just that I don't think it was perfect or anything. Not even close to that. But yeah, let's go through the episode and speak about this in more detail.
Russia!
Yeah, we get this, like, view of an industrial town, and...
It looks very cool. I enjoyed it.
It looks nice.
It's in Romania.
Is it?
Oh, no. Yep.
Okay.
Because, you know, this show doesn't feel like it's necessary to remove local language from their shots of quote-unquote Russia. So there is one that, like, I'm not very familiar with Romanian, but Google Translator said it's probably Romanian. There's one thing while she's driving and on the building that she enters. It was kind of hard to read, but definitely it wasn't Cyrillic, so I'm almost 100% it's Romania.
We are in Russia, and I love that this show informed us of this so that we know exactly how high to set our expectations for them informing us about locations.
We get the sign that we're in Russia, we get some Killing Eve music, and we see a lady on a motorcycle, just motorcycling away. Did you know that this was Eve?
No, and...
No.
I mean, I had a hunch, but I just was enjoying not knowing. And I love that it was Eve because of the parallel with the first season and Villanelle on the motorbike.
And that is in the first episode, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
And I also love that Eve looks badass.
Yeah. Yeah. I, while watching her come to the building and stuff, I was like, ah, yes, this is a Villanelle thing to do. But then it just seemed like too Villanelle-y. So then when it turned out to be Eve, I was like, yes, this is what I thought all along, even though I did not think it all along. We get to see some posters of Konstantin. And I think I squealed when seeing that. It just brought me so much joy. On the posters, it says, "Все говорят, он делает," which means... Everyone just talks, but he does.
Very, very right-wing populist rhetoric, so...
I wonder what his campaign was.
And then, well, to add to that, it says, Vibor Rossii, so Russia's choice, Konstantin. And I loved all of this, except that it just said Konstantin. He is not Madonna.
No, I support it.
Like, even if it was just a name, it would be name and then, like, the Russian middle name. So, like, the whatever. Let's enjoy it. We get to see Konstantin getting his head massaged.
Yeah, and so he speaks English.
Yes, he does. Yeah, so Eve comes in and she shoots him in the hand.
Before, he's like, how did you find me? Well, you ran for mayor, my dude. It's not exactly the best way to hide.
Yes. And the reason that Eve found him is because she is, of course, still looking into the 12, and she's trying to find Hélène. And while Constantine says that he doesn't know where she is, he points her towards Rian, her last recruit, and tells Eve that this is part of Hélène's job, the recruiting of the new assassins.
Does this mean that Hélène is not one of the 12, that she's just, like, she's just a recruiter? Because from what I remember, like, Constantine recruited Villanelle, right?
Yeah, I don't think Hélène is one of the 12.
Okay, I assumed.
I love that you had this smart and logical conclusion that Hélène is not one of the 12, while I, on the other hand, heard Constantine say something like, I don't know where Hélène is, they keep us apart. And I was like, huh, so they're like on the same level. Does that mean Constantine is one of the 12 now?
No, he's too busy being a mayor.
Yes. Also, I already don't understand what's happening. Because
I understand. Please continue. Because?
Because Constantine...
Tamara understands. Sorry.
Because Constantine being mayor of this small town in Russia sounds to me like, oh, he's hiding. But then it also just sounds like, oh, he's working for the 12 again now. And also, if that's true, how did it come to this? Wasn't it that the last time we saw him, he was running away from the 12 because he stole their money or whatever? I don't know.
I mean, everyone is in a completely different place than they were at the end of the previous season.
Oh, and so we're just not supposed to ask ourselves at all about
assume that throughout the season we're gonna find out, like, how they came to this.
Hold my breath. However, if I were to hazard a guess about Constantine's situation, the first thing that comes to mind is that this is a punishment that the 12 imposed on him. Mm-hmm. He has to be in this shitty town in a shitty position where he will be content enough to not cause any more trouble.
So it's like Dasha wasn't allowed to go to Russia and Constantine
has to go.
Yeah, is not allowed to leave Russia.
And they're making him content enough by giving him a lady who massages his head.
Yes.
Yes.
Giving him a lady. I am
Here's
a
lady.
Anyway, this is a fun little scene. I like it when Constantine gives Eve a piece of paper with Rian's name, and the paper is bloody because his hand is bleeding. He got shot. He is fine, though, somehow. And he tells her, you're going to die, you know? Just so that we continue with the idea that the trailer already tried to impose on us.
Yes, and Eve is very into it.
Yeah.
Also, I want to say, Eve shoots him and he's like, you shot me! And she's like, oh, get over it. Which is also what Villanelle told him when she shot him, right?
Oh, see, I was like, this seems so familiar. And then I was like, because it's just so Eve.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Should we edit that out because it was too smart?
Another thing that happens in this scene is that Constantine tells Eve that Hélène looks French because we need to have a plausible reason why Eve just recognizes her from that car in the end.
But it couldn't be that he actually tells her what she looks like.
Yep.
I don't know. To me, it makes sense. She does.
She does look French. I'm not saying she doesn't, but you know, it's literally set up in a way that in the end, when she sees her in the car, we're supposed to think, ah, she recognized her.
Also, we find out that Eve could just ask Villanelle about who's the new recruit, but she will not speak to her. So hopefully we will find out what that's about.
And then we hear some singing and we get Villanelle singing in a church, and I don't care about her singing, but what I do care about is how the Killing Eve music starts playing, like weaving into her singing. It just makes her like supposedly nice singing, like kind of ominous. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that touch.
My professional opinion on her singing is that her tone of voice is very pretty, but her singing is meh.
I really enjoyed her singing and the weird accent that she has while singing.
Uh-huh, that was also nice. Mm.
I did not enjoy her singing, but I did enjoy the accent.
These were our levels of enjoyment of Villanelle's singing.
Then we see her cleaning up after the people, the rest of the people are gone. So she's still in the church and she's talking to the hot girl from the trailer, mm-hmm. whose name is May. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And May is really in awe with Villanelle and how good she is.
Yeah, says that she sounds like an angel.
Mm.
We also find out that the cat threw up on the carpet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, and also how to clean that up, so that's useful.
Yeah, highly absorbent powder.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, makes sense. Then we get like a quick little thing of Eve at a hotel where apparently she's staying at. But then she looks at her silly murder map.
Yes.
So it is hers.
Yes.
It is hers. Why?
She needs to remember.
Yeah.
She suddenly cares about the 12, mm-hmm, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, she was pretending all these seasons.
She's changed.
Right. Right.
We'll
she never
about
cared
that.
About them
no,
before.
No, she never did. And then we see her knock on a van and Yusuf opens the door and I like their dynamic. I said this about the trailer already. I think like this works so much better than her and Nico.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, it works way better than Nico, but also that's why I find it boring. Like I was so bored with them.
Tara, you bring a good point to this, which is that heterosexuality is inherently boring.
Yeah.
Like, if this was her dynamic with Villanelle, I would be...
Yeah, yeah, well, definitely. Yeah. I am a hypocrite.
Also, to, like, keep up with the plot, she is apparently working for, like, a private investigation thingy, and her and Yusuf are, quote-unquote, protecting someone, which is boring, but they also are mostly... doing the 12 thing, and Yusuf apparently has been told all about the 12 thing.
And another thing that happens in this scene is that Eve receives an invitation to Villanelle's christening.
Nell's, right?
Yeah, not Villanelle's. Nell's.
And oh, I just figured Nell's. It out. Villanelle. Nell.
Like we said, stupid.
Ah, amazing.
Yes, and apparently she has received many of these.
Yep, yep, yep.
Okay, let's go somewhere more warm.
To Mallorca.
Yes, have either of you been?
No.
I have not.
Me neither. It just seems like a party place and I'm not a party person.
Mm.
Is this a correct opinion or is it just like what Slovenians do?
I'm sure you can do other stuff.
What? Are you gonna say that for Greece as well?
Yes, I no, for Greece it's I am 100% certain you can do other stuff.
So how do we feel about Carolyn in this new environment, huh? That dress.
Oh my god, okay. That dress. I mean, it's not about the dress. It's yeah. about how it hugs her body.
And also just like her...
very nice way.
Her, I don't know, this character in that dress.
Yeah. I think it's great because it's a dress that's out of character for her.
Mm-hmm.
But she still wears it with, you know, such confidence. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. That it's... I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess she is now the cultural attaché, which is what she gets for killing Paul.
Yeah.
Again, unclear who knows this, how they know it, what she's actually being punished for.
Well, you know who knows it.
Yes.
Hugo.
Yes. We'll get to that.
Yeah. Anyway, Carolyn is told that Mr. Smith is downstairs, and we go back to Eve and the buff guy.
Yusuf!
Also, no. One more note. It's not very interesting, but again, we have Carolyn in her element, completely terrorizing a person working for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're
just
right.
By being disinterested. Like, that's the only thing she's doing, and this poor guy is fucking terrified of her.
Yeah, good point.
So then we go to a park where we have Eve and Yusuf talking about food, and Eve is called a psychopath for some food choices of hers.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Do you get it?
Yeah, specifically eating mayo.
Yeah. Yeah, we also learned that Yusuf was in some evil army, so that's the main reason I don't like him. I know this show is full of murderers, but there are like different level of evil murder, and army evil murder is at the top.
Yes.
In my personal opinion.
Yeah, and also, to make it worse, he watched a buddy of his do, quote, terrible things to civilians, and he kept quiet about it.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I'm against that.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Mm-hmm. And now this buddy of his works for the TFO, which I also googled, and it's some kind of US Army intelligence.
Boo!
And that's how he got info. Which funeral home Rian was buried by in the UK.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Eve kisses him.
And then they do some kinky shit in the park.
Yeah.
I feel ashamed because I was going to be like, they wrestle, which admittedly is hot. This is what I have written down.
Yeah, like I said.
Also, then Eve does like a really weird voice and is like, everybody else wants to try me? And that's so fun. And she's happy. I love seeing her happy.
Me too.
I want her to be happy with Villanelle, but no, actually I don't. I just want her and Villanelle to die together.
Yeah, but I want before her to that, suffer with Villanelle.
Yeah, exactly. But before that, it is nice to see her happy for a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess everyone deserves to be happy before they die.
God's sake.
Okay, so back to Carolyn. I mentioned Hugo earlier, and we're not there yet.
Indeed, we are still not there.
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn and Mr. Smith have a lot of food, which I don't think they eat any of it, but there's a lot of food on the table.
Mm-hmm. This guy's name is Miloš, because all guys in the Czech Republic are named Miloš.
Also, he chose the pseudonym Mr. Smith on purpose. Yeah.
Also, when Prague was mentioned, I was like, ooh, they're gonna go to Prague? That was one of the cities that I was like, I would like them to go there this season.
Yeah, so this Miloš Smith works for the Czech intelligence.
God, I want to have a child and name him Miloš Smith. What a great combo.
And apparently, and I will, I guess, try... we will all forget about this, but what we learn is that Jakub Novotný was killed in Prague and he was flayed alive, which reminds both of them of string cheese.
I did enjoy, like, the way they both thought of string cheese.
Yes.
It made the gruesome idea of someone being flayed alive a little bit more fun.
Also, this guy's like, do you know that we both have dead kids? Do you know? Do you remember that your child is dead?
Yeah.
And she does. And then Nina...
This makes it sound like I'm so excited for Hugo to come, but actually...
Oh, I am.
Oh, because for me, I kept mentioning it because I was like, let's just get this over with. I can't believe we have to see Hugo again. I did not need this. The only good thing that came out of that was when Carolyn sees him and he comes in and she doesn't want him to be in the same room as Milo. She's like, shoo, shoo, shoo. Which is the correct way to address Hugo, I think.
I enjoyed Hugo as a character and I'm glad he's back.
I enjoyed Hugo as a character, but when he showed up in this episode, I was like, no. So that's my opinion.
You know who should come back?
Kenny?
Elena.
Yes.
So, pals, Hugo sent Carolyn a fax.
No, he did not. He is a millennial. He does not know how to send a fax.
I feel like it's some sort of passive-aggressive move or something. I don't know. I just enjoyed that.
Have either of you ever sent a fax?
No.
Right? Okay.
Okay, so I'll be quick with the plot stuff. Hugo works at the Russia desk now. He just got Carolyn's job because he was shot. And Carolyn now, as a character, is really worried about the 12 lol. So she's
Yeah, everyone's worried about the 12 in this season.
I guess I'll have to get used to that. So she's like, they're so lethal. You have to worry. But then she doesn't actually think that. She just wants to convince him that they're scary so that he would let her help him and get in on the good, juicy gossip about the 12. Also, apparently you can only know things about the 12 if you work at the Russia desk.
Yeah, that tracks.
Makes total sense. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And also he knows that she killed Paul because no reason explained. Also, it's so bewildering how he's like, so you did this. It was you, right? And suddenly she's not capable of lying.
Have you ever seen Carolyn lie?
Just because I guess, like, a character can't lie about a thing that we as an audience already know is true, because then we would get confused or something. I don't know.
I love that reason. Yes, I'll take it. Anyway, then he's taken away, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
Okay, so Villanelle made some Bible-y food for the vicar and his daughter with whom she lives. And the vicar does not seem to be too impressed by her, while on the other hand, his daughter May is on the complete other side of that spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, May is in love with her, and this vicar is like, ugh, this Christian extremists. Everyone should be a bit less Christian. My daughter cares about the church, and I hate that. And this person living with us makes food from the Bible.
Ugh.
Yep.
So we have this really nice, very subtle, but I really like it, thing where I think it's like the clock that I have on the wall has some decorations around it. And when Villanelle sits, it looks like she has a halo and it's nice.
Hmm.
I didn't feel like this was very subtle.
I was kidding.
In your face. Okay, you sounded way too sincere about it.
Oh,
Naya.
Shit.
I think whenever someone says the word subtle when talking about this show, it should be assumed that this is not sincere.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So thanks for clarifying for our listeners.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
We see that the cat doesn't like Villanelle, so that then in the next scene we can understand what's gonna happen. So Villanelle is like in the bathroom, she's by the bathtub and she's praying, and yeah. Lucifer comes in, allows to be held, and then hisses and bites Villanelle, who of course just like throws him away in a way that kills the cat, which makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we go to my favorite scene.
Ooh, what is it?
It's May on her bed.
Right.
Writing some piano church erotica.
The way I phrased it was writing choir fan fiction.
She is writing self-insert erotica, so plus She plays the piano in the scene where Villanelle is singing.
Oh. Oh, so she imagines herself as a top.
I forgot what it says in this.
It's like the pianist lifted the soprano and put her on the piano and unbuttoned her pants.
Uh-huh, okay.
Mm. I mean, I think with the way she sees Villanelle, it would make sense because yeah. Villanelle is too pure to... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Too pure to be a top.
Yes.
Too pure to top.
That's like a too fast, too furious.
Lesbian edition.
That's the title of this novel she's writing. It's Too Pure to Top.
Would read. Villanelle comes in and asks for her hair to be stroked and to be told why May likes her so much, which I get.
This is a word-for-word plagiarism of that last scene in The Talented Mr. Ripley.
And by that, I assume what you mean is it's not word-for-word, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, also May calls Villanelle the best person she's ever met. And we move on to a scene of the best person that Villanelle has ever met. Eve is jogging.
Okay, she looks great and like yeah. she is living her best life.
Yeah, oh my god, her yeah. hair in a ponytail, like in that high pony. Oh.
Love that color on her.
Yeah.
Of her shirt.
I love the knee thing.
Actually, I don't know, it's hot.
Yeah, no, I find this very attractive.
Uh-huh.
And Carolyn agrees. She says that Eve looks purposeful, which is so correct.
Yes.
It's incredible good. Seeing Eve like this, and I'm so happy for her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, Carolyn's there.
Yeah, we yeah. get that scene that we get at the beginning of every season where Carolyn is trying to recruit Eve. Eve is acting like she doesn't want it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they do a little meta moment of Eve saying, "We've been here before."
I recognize that tree.
So Carolyn's like, look at these murders. They are all linked because this first person was in Paul's phone book. So he must be one of the 12.
And then yep. Eve is like, "I hate chess. I want to burn it."
This is my least favorite part of this episode, this chess metaphor.
It's yeah, right?
So
it's
bad.
It is.
It's so fucking bad.
I think it's like the epitome of like how this show thinks it's good at something that it's bad at.
Yeah. And yeah, the other two people were also somehow, the second person was connected somehow to the first one. And the third person, Carolyn thinks, also must have been. So these are the members of the 12. Uh-huh, and I guess uh-huh. she actually started this by murdering Paul. Also, Carolyn wants to know the murderers because they know the 12 and Carolyn wants to know the 12, so she wants to know the murderers who are killing the 12.
Yes, it all makes sense.
Yeah. Basically, she wants to kill the 12 as well, and she is not happy with someone else taking the credit, or she wants to be besties with these murderers.
Or she's just bored and she's like, I hate that I'm in Mallorca,
and this
it's
is
too
the real
warm.
Reason I'm just yeah. being smart, what's happening?
Sorry. Anyway, she leaves the file with Eve, and Eve, of course, wants the file, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Also, Carolyn's like, oh, by the way, I'm rich, did you know?
Yes, we all knew. We've seen your yeah. houses.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Then we go back to the church, where we are preparing for the baptism, and Villanelle finds the best seat for Eve, and wants to reserve it, but apparently that's not a thing at baptisms.
Yeah, lol. Also, yeah. Villanelle is rehearsing the baptism, and she's standing behind the water container, and... bless this holy water container. And here we get another very subtle image, and Tamara, by subtle, I mean not subtle.
Okay, yeah, that one was definitely hard to miss. I think that the first one,
yeah,
you could have overlooked that. Yeah.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is that she has wings.
Yeah.
And then everything is ruined because the cat's body was found.
Barbara, yep, found it.
Ugh, Barbara.
Barbara's only role in this episode was to talk about the cat.
That's correct.
Also, then we have Villanelle with the vicar in a room where we find out that there is a camera filming the graveyard or whatever.
Can I give a sensible explanation?
I guess.
I guess there are cameras around this church, and this was just an alley behind the church. They didn't actually shoot her. We don't see her bury the body.
Yes. Okay. It's not a situation, like a bear situation.
Yeah.
But also, I don't buy that Villanelle just accidentally got caught on camera. What the fuck?
She's changed.
Bad writing.
No, this is proof that she's changed, Nea.
Yes, she's handing blankets to the homeless. Oh, I love that she used just the most painfully obvious excuse.
It's good.
Also, then again, we have a moment of characters not being able to lie suddenly, because this dude is like, so do you believe in God? And she cannot say yes. Because then we as the audience would be confused, I guess.
I don't know. I liked this conversation, though.
I felt like, I'm not saying this like necessarily makes sense for Villanelle, but I do feel that even though her only goal is to prove to Eve that she is now better, I do think she's like genuinely working the steps to doing this. She is trying to not lie her way through it, but actually do the things.
I mean, she is lying about the murder of the cat.
Of course she is. But, you know, she's trying to not lie about other things because she is
trying to do this. Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of whatever is Villanelle's motivation here, I think that was my main beef with this episode, was like, what's happening with Villanelle's character development? What are we doing? Are we gonna go somewhere that I hate? Like, what's this? And then Tamara, earlier you said that she's doing this just because she thinks that's what Eve wants, and now I love this episode.
Wow.
That's so nice to hear. I enjoyed when the vicar was like, are you sure you're ready for this? And then he says something along the lines of, and not just because of Lucifer.
What?
Like, he's not thinking that just because of Lucifer, but it just works so well. I love that. Also, I love the Villanelle being like, if you're baptized in a forest and nobody sees it.
Oh god, I love that so much. Right? That was so good.
Right?
God, it was so... I don't even have the words for it.
It was a good point.
Yeah. It was. So, in the next scene, Eve is seen walking into a funeral home.
In a dress.
She's cosplaying a teacher!
Yes, she is cosplaying specifically Gemma.
Oh my god!
Oh, god.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Oh no!
I was thinking, oh my god, she did so well. She looks exactly like a teacher.
Right? She does.
Oh, this makes my heart hurt.
Yeah, Gemma. You made it sad, though. I just thought it was great. Because this is usually Villanelle's thing, to just like embody a character, and now she has mastered the art, and it's good.
Yeah. So she walks in, And there's a guy welcomes her, and he's very
welcoming.
Yes. So he is overly welcoming, and then as soon as he realizes he can't sell her anything, he gets rude, which is fine. But yeah.
I love that he says, "I'm business." She, meaning Pam, is other.
Yeah. So what Eve is trying to do here, she is trying to find out if there are any contacts about of Rianne's in this funeral home.
And when she walks down the hallway, I had the thought, she walks like a teacher.
So Eve comes to Pam. Pam is the other person working at that funeral home. And she is working on a body, a corpse. And yeah. Eve asks about Rianne, and Pam does not seem very interested. But then she goes to look for some information, and Eve does some weird shit.
Yeah, she touches the dead guy.
I immediately love Pam. I love how she ignores Eve and then just after a while says, "I suppose," and then says,
"Yeah."
Nothing. And those are the only words she speaks the whole episode.
I really enjoyed her. Yeah.
Same.
So Pam comes back, says there is nothing, no contact information for Rianne. And Eve asks if she knows Hélène.
This is the stupidest thing anyone's ever done.
Yeah. Yep.
And then she leaves and Pam apologizes to the body, which I would too after what the body had to go through.
Also, she did say some more words.
But not to Eve.
No.
Yeah, and then the baptism happens.
Yeah, it's just as awkward as Villanelle's wedding because Villanelle is only concerned about where Eve is and why Eve isn't there. And then as soon as she decides that, okay, I guess Eve isn't coming, I have to stick it up to her somehow. And she demands that Phil does the baptism ASAP.
Just dunk me.
I read it as she wanted Eve to see her do this and be all good and a new person. And then when she saw that Eve wasn't there, she got really impatient and wanted it to be over with so she can go yell at Eve why she didn't come.
Yeah.
Also, she puts her head in the water and we get the view of her face. And I enjoyed that. It was like, at first, she was just like waiting. And then she was like, I don't feel anything happening. Good face acting. Yes, it was,
Nice shot.
Yes, what I wrote down is, stays in for a while, is like, huh?
Yeah, basically.
And then...
more water.
Drum roll, please. We are at the Romeo and Juliet scene.
Woo!
Because I guess this show will remind us every 5 minutes that Eve and Villanelle are gonna die.
I gotta say, this scene was kind of disappointing for me. I enjoyed it a lot more in the trailer. It was just kind of underwhelming, I don't know.
I really like the part where they see each other. I thought, I mean, I know we already saw that, but I still enjoyed it.
Me too. I guess the rest of the scene just then didn't do it for me.
Also, there's a whole other scene before we even get to this.
Well, no, but we see the aquarium. No,
we just see the fish tank and then we go to Eve in her hotel room.
We talk about Yusuf's nipples, though?
No, I think we can skip that. But basically, Eve is incorporating Carolyn's info into her red string board. And she is making a lot of assumptions about Pam, and she's...
God, this was so fucking weird.
She was like, she's just the kind of girl they would hire, like, disadvantaged, this, that. It's like, has any of the assassins they hired ever been those things?
Has she ever known any of the other assassins?
But also, Pam I assume she went to college. I think you need to go to college to be this. I think you have to study medicine or something, right? We know that she has a steady job.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that all of these descriptors that Eve pulled out of her ass about Pam don't make sense.
I must say I did enjoy the exchange between Eve and Yusuf when she's like, another D word, and he thinks of one, and it's fun. And then he's also like, did you think that maybe she's just unusual? Sorry, this usual.
Yeah.
Which was the best line of this episode for me.
Yes.
Yes, some good word humor.
And then Eve goes on like, no, but the look in her eye, I can't explain it. And just like, shut up, Eve.
Yeah, that's the part that I, like, the only part that I paid attention to. It was so silly.
Yeah.
And then we get to the Romeo and Juliet scene.
Yeah, I like that Villanelle's hair is still wet.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks good. Eve goes down to the hotel lobby because she wants some nuts. And she looks at the aquarium and Villanelle suddenly appears. And she tells Eve that she forgives her. And Eve says, what?
For not coming to my rebirth. Also, my favorite line from this was, I understand it might be painful for you to see me blossoming.
Then Villanelle goes down on her knees and starts praying for Eve to accept that she is gay.
Yeah, true, yeah. Because,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because she says, dear Jesus, please help Eve to be who she really is inside. Mm-hmm. And Eve has done a lot of growth in that direction from the previous season. But yeah, the gay part she still has.
Pray the gay in. Yay.
Yes.
Pray the gay in. Yay!
They also fight about which of the two of them has and has not changed, which I think is an interesting topic. What do you think? Because, like, Villanelle is super, like, performatively trying to change, but I don't think she actually has changed.
And doing things performatively is just her doing the same old, same old.
Yes. Yeah. While on the other hand, I think Eve has changed.
Eve has, like, come into her own. Yeah.
Yeah, she really has.
I honestly, like, what this made me think about more so is just, like, God, what happened in between these two seasons? Like, more than any other scene. Like, I don't think I even really thought about the fact that there was some time in between until this scene happened. And I just, this scene specifically made me think about, like, what happened? How did we get here?
And I absolutely trust this show to disappoint in this department.
Yes.
Also, to prove that she has changed, Eve slaps Villanelle. Nina, is that lesbian sex? Thoughts?
No.
It did look like they were gonna kiss.
It was
very much shot as if they are gonna kiss.
And then we have this really important and long scene. We see Carolyn looking into the river and she spits.
Yep.
Yeah. Does anyone understand what the fuck is going on?
No.
Unnecessary.
Yeah. This was in the trailer and I thought she was in Berlin, but she is not, so...
I don't know. I honestly just think that this scene exists so that we got that cool thing in the trailer of the three of them, like the facts.
No, I think this scene is supposed to be like Carolyn being all like, fuck this job that they gave me and all of that. I will just do my own thing. But yeah, it's...
Okay.
No. I got it.
Okay.
I know what happens.
Okay.
Carolyn spits in the river just like Kenny fell down from the building. And in sure. that, she is taking power in this situation. And now she can finally live again.
Zero words of what sure. you said made sense.
Yeah, that was what I was going for.
Naya, unfortunately, your explanation does make sense, which means that probably she's actually spitting at the MI6 building or something like that.
Oh, that would be actually cool.
Yeah.
Then Eve is at a bus stop in a hoodie and scarf watching them. Yeah, sure. Actually, my note is that Pam looks good.
Also. Mm-hmm. And Eve is all like, I am being so good at this, but then Pam beats her up.
But like, not that much, because Eve gets up pretty quickly.
Yeah, just like, a little bit.
Yeah, quick enough to follow her and see her drive off.
Yes, and she sees that there's another person in the car.
And that person looks French.
And she's like,
yep.
Bing pong. I found her.
Then we go to my least favorite scene.
Uh-huh.
Where Villanelle is at the church, seemingly alone and asking God to show her he is real, which is the opposite of the point of Christianity, where you're just supposed to believe without God showing you. Ugh!
Yes.
This was a big thing the last time I was in church.
Villanelle also tells Jesus that it's in his interest for her to believe in him.
God.
Then May comes in and she talks with Villanelle, and then Villanelle drowns May.
So we get the scene here where they almost kiss, which was in the
don't.
And it's so hot, like the way their bodies are turned, it's like, it's really good.
Yeah, this is the scene that was in the trailer that we were like, oh, can't wait for this. But they don't even kiss. How disappointing.
It really is.
I do, however, like genuinely like this dialogue between them where May is all like, no one could ever pretend as good as that, not even the world's best actress. And Villanelle says, depends on the audience, which just I genuinely like. It's like, yeah, so true. Like, of course she fooled May, who didn't know her before, but she could never fool Eve. Then when Villanelle drowns May, we also get another scene of her face in the water. I think they were just like, we already did all this setup for the camera for Villanelle, so let's use it again.
That's why this scene happens at all.
Yeah. No, it happens so that Villanelle can then save her and be like, oh my god, I didn't kill you? I did change!
Yep.
Which I hope we are not meant to think that she actually changed. I don't know.
I got too invested in May and Villanelle, so I cannot think about this scene as anything but betrayal to my own needs and wishes.
Yeah, no, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's move on.
Yeah, let's go to Moscow. This time we are not just in Russia, but in Moscow specifically, where Carolyn has arrived and she meets Vlad, which I know because she says the word Vlad. And then I was like, I think Vlad is a character that's already been on this show. Yeah. And then I actually Googled him. You both remember him?
Of course we remember Vlad.
Speak for yourself, Tamara.
I knew that we like at least mentioned him. I didn't remember exactly if we saw him.
Of course I remember Vlad.
Do tell.
Well, he was there in Russia when we went there for the first time, and he was like another ex-lover of Carolyn's.
So what I found out from Googling him is that Carolyn framed him about something about some plutonium, And Eve proves this by making Kenny go through Carolyn's love letters with Constantine, which traumatizes Kenny. But then, yeah, Eve gives these letters to Vlad in exchange for something. We don't care. So that's, I guess, why Vlad greets Carolyn by saying, "Hello, traitor." And Carolyn came to do some more digging about the 12 in Russia, because I guess you also can learn more about them when you're in Russia.
You know who else is a traitor?
Everyone.
Villanelle for what she did in the previous scene. And now, in this next scene, we see May feel that towards her, like looking at her, not trusting her anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel, yeah, that Villanelle is a traitor to May and once again to myself. I am disappointed.
Yes.
Boo.
But then also Villanelle sees Jesus, and this is the only white Jesus that I will accept.
I gotta say,
do I have to say anything? Do I even have to say anything about this?
Honestly, I'd rather not. I literally have only one thought, like one opinion about this scene, which is that I love that Jesus is wearing these knee-high boots that are gold. That feels perfect. Everything else about the scene, yeah, okay, whatever. That specific thing, perfect.
Did you just say, yeah, okay, whatever?
Yeah.
I didn't like this scene.
Oh, okay. We are... Okay.
Wow. We have very varied opinions.
Yeah, like, the whole spectrum.
It's very interesting that we were all like, yeah, we can move on. It's very obvious what we think.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that. I just meant, yeah, whatever the scene. I don't care about it. Except for the boots.
I just don't like that we're getting this supernatural element all of a sudden.
Oh, you're calling God supernatural, are you?
So, interesting. I had the same gut reaction, because in my heart of hearts, I like art to be internally consistent, and it annoys me when it's not. But then I remembered that this was also the reason I didn't like the time skippy episode, and I didn't like the fun title cards in the previous season. And when I thought about it again, those were my favorite parts of the season. So I was like, no, actually, it's okay to have fun and not care about the rules that you self-imposed. So I decided to enjoy this Jesus.
It's okay to have fun, Nea 2022.
Yeah, this is my opinion, but I have never had fun.
I agree with what you said. I just didn't have that much fun in this scene.
But it's Villanelle and she sees herself as Jesus.
I don't know. Like, maybe it's fun for you as an atheist.
Oh my god! Okay, I do have to say I don't know why Villanelle imagined Jesus telling her that she would lead her to salvation.
Yeah.
Sex with your clone?
Perfect. And that's the end of the episode.
I accept. That's why when she says that, then the music becomes more upbeat. Okay, I am ready for an uti, which I feel like might be long, because there were lots of outfits.
There were lots of outfits, but not that many details. So in this episode, Villanelle wears 6 outfits. The first one is the red church outfit she wears when she is singing.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I just described it that she looks like a bishop or alternatively the Spanish Inquisition.
Yes, I just said this.
Oh no, I love it even more now. I did not expect that. This is a joke. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. I'm sorry.
No, thanks for explaining the joke, because I did not get it.
It was subtle.
It's floor length, and the sleeves are long, and there is an extra piece of fabric over the shoulders, which is one of the things that I absolutely hate when there are two fabrics layered on top of each other and sewn together. It just seems unpractical. That's it. The next outfit she's wearing is, she's wearing it when she is collecting the flyers in the church, and also when they're eating dinner. So in the church, we see that she's wearing dark red pants and a jeans overshirt / jacket kind of thingy. And then underneath this, she has a tie-dyed t-shirt that reads, "What would Jesus do?" And I think she's also wearing sandals in this scene, but I think she actually wears them in all of the casual scenes. So, yeah. The third outfit is her floor-length grandma nightgown, which is white and has some lace detailing. And also she's wearing a sports bra underneath this, because I guess she sleeps in a bra.
That's how we know she's evil.
And she has some of her typical minimal golden jewelry, right?
Yeah.
She's wearing a cross necklace.
She's wearing this in every scene. Yes, so in every scene she's also wearing a golden neck chain with a cross. And this nightgown reminds me a lot of another nightgown that she wore when she stayed with that creepy dude.
Oh,
that's also what I thought of. Yeah.
The fourth outfit is her baptism practice outfit, where she's wearing the sandals and a light blue oversized shirt with some graphic dark blue flowers on it, and flowy white pants with a kind of reddish striped pattern. Then the fifth one is her baptism outfit, which is just a floor length white dress. Again, she's wearing white ballerinas with it, and this dress has a Regency high waist, some lace detailing, and this fake medieval / pre-Raphaelite, I pronounced that wrong, sleeves that are longer in a triangle. I don't fucking know how to describe it, but you know,
wide.
What you think about when you think about a medieval gown. And then the last outfit is another night outfit. She is wearing these adorable pajamas. It's again the classic style of pajamas with the piping, and this one is white with tiny blue flowers as a pattern. So, which one is your favorite?
Mine's the baptism rehearsal one. I really liked it. I liked the... What?
Oh, mine too. That's, that's the face that I was making.
I liked the combination of the patterns. Very good.
That was my favorite outfit, but I didn't really love any of the outfits. Like, I loved the first one, but I think I already got so hyped up about it when watching the trailer that it didn't do it for me anymore, even though I still think it's great. But yeah, I choose the same outfit, even though I didn't really like the top that much, but I loved the pants.
My favorite is actually the tie-dye t-shirt one. I don't know, it just seemed the most fun and kind of ironic in a I'm a teenager way, which I thought was fun. But also I own a jeans overshirt, very much like the one Villanelle wore. So
me too.
I felt represented.
Okay.
Yeah.
First Uti of the season.
Whoop.
So are we doing a Russia corner?
No Russian corner for this episode. I don't think there was anything special. That's the reason. It's not because of what's happening right now. We do not condone what happened, obviously, what is happening, but also the fact that Putin invaded Ukraine will not, like, mean that there won't be any Russian corner, because this does not change the fact of the country or the people that live there. So I guess I just wanted to make that known.
I would say that generally our opinion is war bad, and
I think we all have, like, more opinions and more, like, complex thoughts, but maybe this is not the podcast for this. Sometimes we make, yes, like, social commentary, but usually it's just, like, one-liners or something, and I don't think that's appropriate when we are talking about war.
Exactly, and I don't think any of us really want to become the sudden internet experts on an international conflict.
On which we are not experts.
Yeah.
Read the news.
Yeah, we don't.
Depends on the news. There's so much propaganda.
Read a lot of various different news and take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say we're not just ignoring it. I think it would be weird if we just did not mention it.
Yeah.
But I don't think we will be getting any further into the topic, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no Russian corner today, though.
No Russian corner this week, but probably not no Russian corner forever. Okay, rating time.
Whoop whoop.
This time, Nea had a rating ready, which surprised me. So, Nea, do you want to go first?
Okay. So, of course, I couldn't think of anything. So, I have three options. They are all incredibly stupid, and you can choose which one I pick. So one is just the concept of fan fiction, because May is writing fan fiction about herself and Villanelle. That's one. The second one is the myth of Sisyphus, because I feel like both Eve and Villanelle trying to change who they are is a Sisyphean task.
And we all know that Sisyphus is gay.
My argumentation here would be Sisyphus is like an ancient Greek myth, and we all know that the ancient Greece was so much gayer than any other time in history.
Ugh.
So that's my argumentation for that one. And then the third one is, the movie, the musical Cats, but the way it's presented in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, because when Villanelle sees Jesus, he has the kind of halo where it just looks like, he's a cat. I don't know anything about Cats, the musical, or the movie, but I have seen Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and it reminded me of one of the cats that was in that show.
I choose the third one.
Tamara?
I'm sorry for being boring, but I'd go with the second one.
I don't think that's boring.
So those are my three ratings.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, Naya, if you thought your rating was stupid, wait for this. I wrote down, when I was trying to come up with a rating, I wrote down the phrase hot and cold to think about what with this vibe I would find. And then I decided to rate it instead with the song I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry. Noted, made it, almost kiss a girl, and liked it, so
indeed.
It's even slightly topical.
No, I think this is great. I think you all did great, and I hate that I was serious with choosing mine. My choice is Happiest Season, the movie, because this episode is about God, and that one is about Christmas, which is about God. No, I'm joking. That's not the reasoning. the actual reason is that there are both things that I was so excited for. And then it both kind of disappointed, which I think partly is like due to all the expectations.
Also, no, the happiest season is just bad. It's not due to expectations.
Yes, yes, I want to say that, like, that movie disappointed me way more than this episode, so... Mm. But both had, like, great things about them. Like, happiest season had Kristen Stewart in that outfit.
yeah, it's true.
I know the one.
yeah. And, like, her chemistry with Aubrey Plaza was wonderful. And then this episode had a bunch of good things that we talked about, more than that movie, like I said. But yeah, I guess just the general feeling of excitement beforehand and then not quite living up to the expectations.
Let's move on to the game. Tamara thought of a game.
I did. Today's game is, what would your self-insert fanfiction erotica be about?
Mm-hmm. I think I should go first because mine is going to be the least interesting if you know one thing about me.
Yes.
So it's just me with a vampire.
Yes.
And then she turns me into a vampire and we are both vampires.
Yes.
Cool. Mine, unfortunately, would most definitely happen in some, like, semi-public space where anyone could walk in on you any minute.
Okay.
I am sorry.
I was
like... Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
If you know, let's say, three things about me... or you've listened to this podcast, you know that my fanfiction would include some sort of trashy, dirty butch. And then I think, like Nina already pointed out, I think it would also include some scene of like either wrestling or slapping. So it might as well just be me and Eve.
Okay.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Now that y'all know this about us.
Great. Beautiful segue.
We want to add something new for this season because we are... Well, because, you know, episodes are coming out as we're... recording this, you know this. We've said it before, and also you're listening to this. So at the end, I guess we would try to make some predictions or just like ideas, theories, what would happen. I don't know. I'm very bad at these. I generally just don't have any theories. So maybe that's what I'm gonna say at the end of every episode. But I just wanted us to have the space to be able to do this.
So this is Prediction Corner, but can we also include like
yes.
Wishful thinking?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just do wishful thinking.
Probably same, yeah.
This is a wild predictions corner.
This made me think of what I want to say this week, which is another thought about this episode, is that I was really disappointed that Ethan Villanelle were in the same space, like, already in the first episode. Like, I would accept it if it continued right after season 3, but since it did not, I would have wanted them to not, like, see each other physically so soon. I really liked the previous seasons where, like, there was some build-up to that. So my wish would be for them not to see each other for like a couple of episodes, then coming together, having like this tumultuous affair that is intense and hot and tragic, and then it ends badly. This is just like what I want for the whole season. Yeah.
My prediction is that Pam and Villanelle will have sex.
Ooh.
Oh. Would be nice.
I guess we support it.
My wish is that we're kind of done with all the church stuff. Though my prediction is that we're not quite done with the church stuff yet, I think that there will be one more episode of church stuff, and then we will move on from it.
I agree.
I think there's going to be like half an episode more.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my prediction is that May and Villanelle will not kiss.
Which is such a shame. Truly, they looked so good together.
Mm. Yeah. God.
Also, my prediction is that Nico will just never be mentioned again.
Cool.
Oh.
That's my wishful thinking.
Same.
So those were our predictions after the first episode.
Thank you, dear listener, for listening to this episode of Queering Eve. We will record another one. We release new episodes when we can. Have a nice week, and remember, it's very much in your interest for me to believe in you.
I just wanted to mention Supernatural, but I guess never mind.
Yeah, just don't.